The Killing of Butterfly Joe by Ridian Brooke. Read by Thomas Hunt.
Well, there we were. We were working like that, and then who should come up but the Cat in the Hat? Dr. Seuss. Part 1. I tell this tale of Butterfly Joe, the adventure, wonder, trouble, woe. But how to let unfold and flow to save my butt as well as soul? I'd hail a muse, but they've kept shtum, e'er since Cupid swapped bow for gun, leaving the music of their name and 10,000 spent writers seeking fame and glory and lead in pencils, an orally delivered, full-blown story. No, I'm not waiting for them. I'll just get on with it, open with the opening. A first encounter with my hero and his silky sister, naked, in the cool waters of the Catterskill Falls, not far from where Rip Van Winkle took his 20-year snooze. This is where the adventure starts, and this is how my story goes.
Chapter 1. In which I meet Joe Bosco and his sister, Mary Ann, at the Catterskill Falls. I met him a butterfly life ago. That's 6 months if you're an exceptionally strong, large, lucky butterfly. It was the beginning of May. I was lying by the side of a river in the Catskill Mountains, reading and smoking, when I fell asleep and into a dream. It was one of those lovely in-and-out dreams that come with shallow sleep. I'd been reading about Rip Van Winkle, the man who took a nap outdoors and woke 20 years later to a world that had moved on without him, and he was in my dream. There was a butterfly, yellow, white, and black. And I was at my father's funeral, scattering his ashes. I knew I was dreaming, and I was enjoying the illogical bleeding of disparate things into one another. But someone was trying to get into my dream. I could hear a voice coming from outside it, pulling me rudely from my semi-sleep. I even remember thinking, in my dream, "Don't wake up! Don't wake up!" But the intruding voice was as insistent and enthusiastic as a toddler's. The voice of someone who enjoyed interrupting, and who paid no heed to what people thought of them.
"It's a monster, a total monster."
It was an American voice, but of course, I was in America. I opened my eyes and there he was, eclipsing the sun. He was naked from the waist up, shoeless, holding a butterfly net in one hand, grinning down at me. The lenses of his glasses magnified his eyes to bush baby saucers. His hair was short on top and long at the back, which made him look less intelligent than he turned out to be. I guessed him to be in his 20s, a little older than me, perhaps. A boy in a Superman's body.
"Don't move, sir," he said.
He made this snorted, chortling noise and curled up his nose in concentration.
"You should see this, Mary. It's a giant."
He was addressing someone in the water. I sat up and saw a young woman, maybe 17 or 18 years old, swimming in the pool beneath the main cascade of the falls. She was completely naked, her skin ivory green, her long hair snaking across her back. I wondered if some spirit of those witchy woods had put a spell on me, and that I had, like Rip, woken up to a world that had moved on without me.
"It's a papilioglaucus," he said to the girl.
"Not so special as all that," she shouted back.
What were they? Naturist entomologists? Prelapsarian hippies? The Woodstocks were not that far away. Or maybe, this being the top end of the Appalachia, they were a couple of feral inbreds.
"Don't move, sir. If you could just stay very still."
He brought the net down over the huge